Hi, welcome to our lunchtime date together with me, John Ballum. I am an organizational development consultant, I'm an educator, and I'm a coach with a passion for lifelong learning. With me today is my partner in crime, Gifty.
Hi everyone, I'm Gifty Parker, HR professional with a background in learning and development, performance management, as well as talent management.
So for the next 20 minutes, we invite you to sit back, find a glass of something nice, and enjoy an unusual conversation with us.
I am very fascinated about the topic on strategy. I know you have questions for me. You already told me that around strategies. And I do have questions for you as well. But I'm curious, why strategy though? Why that topic for you for today's podcast?
Well, because it's one of those words that rolls off everybody's lips in business and everybody's supposed to know what it means. But actually, many people don't know what it means. It's a nice document that, you know, stays in a cupboard or on a computer somewhere and looks very fancy. But so it's one of those things which I think really does need exploring and looking at, and some of the practicalities around how do we develop effective strategy.
I agree. Great things around the topic. And I'm very excited to have that for a topic for today for our audience.
Right.
Now, I know you have lots of questions for me. Should I let you go ahead with your questions?
I'll ask you the first question. Okay, since you've already asked me mine. Okay, so yes, here'll be my first question for you. What is your experience, you know, consulting to organizations of helping them formulate strategy or looking at their strategies critically with them, and maybe share some of the good or the bad? You know, what's some of the stuff you see going wrong? And what's some of the stuff you think, wow, that really works?
Well, that's a great question. You know, when it comes to strategy and formulating it or helping people understand the reality of what a strategic process is, as a business consultant, I try, you know, to take a backseat role in working with my clients. My role, backseat role, also ensure that they can be accountable for what they are putting forward as a strategy. So my role is mostly at the back, ensuring that, you know, what they've chosen or what they want to be their strategic choices is actually one that can be operational. I have a lot of people who spend so much time drafting a strategy, and that strategy never kicks off, or the strategy becomes one that was never reviewed or one that is not in line with their organization. So in my backseat role, one of the things that I love to do is understand, you know, how they actually came about forming the formulation of their strategy. A lot of people kind of form or create a strategy without being aware of the likelihood of what could happen with that strategy. I always say to people, a lot of the strategies that you created, so this is your intended strategy, a lot of them either get discarded. Many of them would actually have to go through some sort of a change where you kind of make an adjustment for so many reasons, which I will talk about shortly, but only a few of them become a realized strategy. And that understanding, it kind of wakens people up to know that it's not just writing it on paper and assuming that is what's going to happen. There's a lot of processes from the beginning to the actual realized strategy. So from your intended strategy, this is what we want to do, to what actually happens, there's a big gap and there's a lot to do. And one of them I always say to people is, when you're creating your strategy, what are some things that you consider? And they give me a whole list of things that they consider. But they miss two key parts that is always so important for me. They forget that line of sight. When they're creating a strategy, they assume, especially when I talk to the team members in HR, for example, in the department, they mention, oh, we're going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I want to understand, how does that connect to your organizational strategy, your organizational goal? And they pause. There's a very weird pause where either they don't know or they weren't thinking that way. They didn't think to connect that. And I tell them one of the first things you want to ensure is your organizational goals or what it is that the organization has as its plan is aligned with that strategy that you're creating. You know, you're creating a strategy from nowhere, but there's a business that is existing. It should be from that, something that is cascaded from that or taken from that. And they kind of look at me very strangely, like, oh, you know what? We never really, or they assume it's part of the organizational goal. Uh-huh. There's that assumption that is not something we want to do. Another error or negligence is people have this strategy created, and it could be a beautiful, well-structured one, but they fail to understand that we're in a dynamic environment. Uh-huh. They fail to understand the fact that they need to continuously do what I call scanning of your environment. Mm-hmm. And scanning of your environment doesn't only have to be outside. You can do an internal scan. You can do a scan on a micro and a macro level of the external. You must constantly scan and see, okay, this is my strategy I had from last month. Between last month and today, what has changed inside my organization? Mm-hmm. And that could be anything as simple as the resources that may have changed. Are you using a different resource and that information is no longer available to you? It could also be anything around funding. It could be anything around the individuals that are involved, so human resources. It could be anything around your organization's focus. Your focus may shift. It could be anything about restructuring. The list goes on. And then your environment, your customers as well, the strategy you created a month ago, has that changed in terms of what you're expecting or what you're putting into it from your customers? Mm-hmm. Has that changed in terms of your suppliers? Has that changed in terms of the legal aspects? For example, with us, HR, a lot of big change we get from the environment. And when I say environment, I'm talking about the micro and the macro will be legislation around employment standards. So a lot of time we have to go back and, you know, make changes, okay, because the law is changing in this area. So those two things are one of the biggest aspects when it comes to what you have and what you're really expecting to get at the end of it. Another big problem is, especially for HR, and those are people I work with most of the time, when we actually have our strategies, we tend to keep it to ourselves. It's like a treasure. You know,
and I always people, our department,
open it up. Get your operations team involved. Get your production team involved.
Yes.
You know, get your IT involved. There might be some things that you're overlooking. They can enrich that, and they understand where you're going, what your plans are, and they can further help you get it. So those are some of those in conversation I have with people around strategy.
Fascinating. Really fascinating. So when you were saying those things there, you know, I was thinking of an experience I had around strategy, which was a real shake-up, this sort of wake-up call. So I was working with a pretty big, it was a large organization, and they had a big strategic planning session. And they called in another consultant to do the strategic planning session, who was really, really good at his stuff. He's renowned for what he delivered to organizations. And he actually was at a more advanced level than I was in terms of strategy. So I was focusing on organizational development. Nevertheless, the client said to me, will you please be with us in the meeting? So the CEO plus his senior manager. So I said, sure, you know, I'm going to learn something as well. So I'm more than happy to be there. So this consultant, and he's very good at his job. He got up and he started outlining their previous strategy, their present strategy. And I looked around the room and I quickly realized, actually, nobody has a continental idea what this guy's talking about, but they're pretending to understand. So I interrupted the meeting and I said to the CEO, you asked me to be here today and to make process calls. So I want to make a process check here. Can I have a word alone with you first? And so I spent about 10 minutes with him and I said, do you understand what is being said? He said, yeah, a bit of it. And then I said, a bit of it. Like, I didn't want to prick his ego too hard in case I got then fired. But he said, but my team understands. So I said, okay. So I said, I'm a little concerned here that actually the depth of understanding of what is not as great as you believe it is. So he said, okay, can you help me check this? So I said, okay, we'll do this in a way that hopefully nobody loses too much face. So we asked the consultant to step out, we pay him for his time for the next hour, and we brought the team back in. and I introduced it by talking about vulnerability and us being clear and honest with ourselves. And if we're going to do business, we must know what we're talking about. And then I asked each person around the room, the CEO was present, to please articulate to me, first of all, on a scale of 1 to 10, how deep they're understanding what was being said, and then to explain part of what had been said. Well, I'll just stick with the level of understanding that was being said. Nobody scored higher than 3. The CEO's eyes were like, we were sitting in that room, all pretending to understand, and I shudder to think what happened if I hadn't made the process check. Now, maybe this consultant, and then I'll give his due, really knew what he was talking about, and he would have taken them all in the right direction. I get it.
Hmm.
But it goes back to what you were talking about, the strategy, is their ownership of the strategy. And the understanding has to run
exactly
deep. And we've got to give, in that regard, I think we've got to give people time sometimes enough to understand in business meetings the complexities of the things we're talking about. You know, we pressure these business meetings, quick, let's get it done, let's move, time is money.
Exactly,
and people think, I can't ask that question, shut up. And they don't, they're actually making decisions based on some erroneous assumptions in their head. So anyway, that's a broader topic. But this whole strategy thing comes down to, do you really understand, what the big strategy is for your organization? And then as you alluded to, as you come down to the departments, you understand how that breaks down and how you're all aligned with that,
I love this example, John. This is a beautiful example.
Oh, this is a terrifying moment.
If you hadn't kind of gone in to check, do people really understand? They would have just nodded their heads all through that meeting. And then when the strategy is not realized without the involvement of the team, you're not getting the best out of it. You're not getting the most. I read somewhere, sadly, I can't remember where, and they were saying, I think the conversation was around allowing people to be comfortable with debate, to be comfortable with ambiguity, right? So when you have a strategy like that, having everybody aware helps them to, kind of find a little bit around the topic, talk a little bit about their perspective. Mm-hmm. And that brings out a lot of creativity. So, but if you're going with a strategy that nobody understands or nobody fully understands, you don't give them that opportunity to grapple the whole concept of it. They don't grapple with the issue, they don't argue, they don't question. And the more you have those, again, remember we had a podcast recently where we were talking about people asking questions, people questioning why this and why not this. It's actually the possibility of that intended strategy being realized, it makes it higher. The possibility is higher because every critical point is hit. So everyone, they keep that practical aspect of it is being met because their questions and their involvement. So that's a very good example. I love it. I really do.
I saw this when I consulted to Coca-Cola, I never forget, with one of the Coke people, him showing me how to pack a freezer in a supermarket, how all the drinks according to the branding must be aligned. And it's very precise, but this is not something just arbitrarily done. This is done for a very particular reason. And I was like, wow, that's the level of detail. And that's why they're so successful. Well, because they break it down to that level of detail. Okay. It's not just, as you said, some philosophical, vague thing in the atmosphere up there, It's broken down to actually, okay, this is what it means when you pack that fridge. And that's how that aligns to the corporate value at the top, To me, that's good organizational management.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. Something else I agreed, when we were talking, I was looking at your notes, you mentioned that a business strategy must evolve and be refined, and you mentioned that it must be refined as, they go through inevitable changes.
Yes.
Every business would experience a level of change. Change that is influenced from outside or from within.
Right.
And you mentioned that. So that was a very good comment in your notes. But I also want to ask a question. If we were to advise a lot of our listeners who are involved in, the creation or the process of actually having a strategy within the organization, how can we encourage them to ensure that involvement to ensure the refinement?
Okay. So I think one of the critical things is you've got to stay in touch with your customer. Okay. Your target market, what's happening to your target market? What's going on in their target market's mind? Because that's the point if you're talking about a business or any organization, really. I mean, it doesn't have to be a business. It could be a hospital for that matter, okay? Servicing patients, right? So the target market, what is it that for them matters? Okay? So let me give you a classic example of this, which again was, I learned a lot. So I consulted in South Africa at one stage to a hospital group. And one, a private hospital group, and in Africa, you know, we didn't have managed healthcare. It's mostly, a lot of it was private healthcare. And their customers were unhappy, right? And they couldn't figure out why, because they were really successful financially and all this stuff. But the CEO had the sense to realize this was going to affect their strategy, and they were going to lose the market share if they didn't do something. And so myself and another bunch of others, we began looking at this whole phenomenon of what was upsetting the client. And what we found was this, that most people, when experience outside of a hospital of going to get a bed, is like when you go to a hotel. And then it's a case of which room would you like? You know, what type of room are you looking for? No, it's not just, hey, you sleep in that bed. So they arrive at a private, you know, up-end hospital and are told, oh, no, that is your ward, that is your bed. Like, no choice. Of course, there's a big dissonance in their head. They're paying a lot of money and it's a grudge purchase because it's a health purchase. Now, they're just told. So they said they cared. They said they're all these things, but their target market did not perceive them as caring, right? And that's as things shifted, as people got more exposed to, you know, luxury hotel sector and income levels rose in South Africa and all that sort of thing happened. Okay, so that as that market shifted, people began to, the customers' demand needs changed. Now, the strategy had to adopt. We can't just say we care. We've got to say, yeah, we care. And that means we allow you to choose, or we allow the customer to it and has this practical return. So for me, your target market, you lose touch with that, what that target market needs or wants, desires, and how to service it. You know, you've actually lost touch with your strategy, your business strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen that? Have you seen people with the strategy drift from what the client's actually needing and wanting?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the list of reasons is countless. You know, I've had everything from, yes, the customers, you know, the suppliers, not being in touch with the competitors as well. Those things must constantly be reviewed because they change, right? They really,
right.
really change. And the
right.
same goes with the internal customers as well, the internal people, which is your people,
yes.
your employees.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
because those are key individuals that can contribute to the realization of your strategy. So what has changed within those people in terms of how they work or the insight that they bring in, the performance? Yeah, that becomes a big thing as well. Another thing, outside scanning and looking at the environment, is people actually create a strategy, and the strategy is in a drawer or in a locker somewhere. And they are acting based on their intuition, which is not a bad thing. But why did you create that strategy if you're not going to use it as a tool to guide your actions?
Right.
So they have a strategy. Oh, we have a strategy for engagement. And that strategy is in the locker somewhere. And then you're trying to navigate how you engage, you know, let's say employees or how you engage your customers. But you've created a beautiful guide, which you're not using. So that
right.
also becomes something I've seen in terms of a gap between what it is that we've said we want to do and what in reality are we doing.
And now, why do you think that gap exists? Because it's you know, if you have, I have my ideas, but I'm curious to hear yours. You know, you have this really clearly laid out. Okay, this is what you've got to do. This is what we need to do. But then it sits in a drawer. So where do you think the breakdown is there between this really well-crafted, if it is really well-crafted, let's assume that it is, and then everybody just going on their gut, saying, oh, this is what, you know, what do you think's happening there in that space?
A lot could be the reason, but one that I've found through my research and questioning people is it's just a lot easier to just go with the flow. People like to go with the easier. which not necessarily is the right path. So always easier to go or act upon a situation in this way. The same thing creating an employee manual for a client, and a situation happens and I'll be like, oh, they call me up, Gifted, this happened and I don't know what to do. I'll be like, what does your manual say? Oh, I haven't looked at the manual. So it's just, it's the same thing. People would rather take step or take an action where they wouldn't want to go and review what they have. Now, I'm not saying the guy should be right in front of you the entire time, but it's something that you must ensure that you've created steps to follow it, you know, and also have people who have an interest in that particular strategy, have them actively involved. Because while you may have made a mistake in following your step that you set for yourself, you're not the only one involved in it. You have a lot of other people that you're accountable to. That's why I say it's not something that happens in a vacuum. It's something that you need to involve your team. And then you all work towards having a successful result, when you, especially when you're implementing it, right? That implementation stage is really, really crucial, because what we think we know at the time of creation may be far from the reality when we're implementing it. So having everyone involved, ensuring that constant feedback is going everywhere. Okay, feedback. I did a step. This is what I got. Okay, feedback. I did it. So we deviate because we always want an easy solution, right? We just want to do easy.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe I also think sometimes the ownership of this, you know, must go back to the business owner or managers, because teaching them is, because it's a lot of my background, is as in, you know, you teach as well. It's a very responsible thing. You know, you've got these students and you want to get them this knowledge into their heads so they can use it and pass that exam, let's say, for example. And so it's no use just saying, well, I told them, because what you said was not necessarily understood. Okay. So I think successful strategy, and the companies that I've seen, and like Unilever and Coca-Cola that I've worked with, implement successful strategy very successfully. What they've done is they have a massive education process around that strategy. So they show people the benefits of using it, why it works better than their intuition. You know, they make it like, okay, using the strategy is going to simplify your life. This is actually going to make business a lot easier. So they spin it really well, because actually that's what we want people to do. We want people not to think, well, oh, so much work to do this, but actually to just fly by the seat of my pants is much easier. We want them to think, actually doing this makes my day a lot better, you know, a lot easier. And if people don't have the skills, we get them to give them the skills, or we recruit people that do have those skills.
No, I agree. You know, it also kind of ties me to when I talk about change, you know, with a lot of strategy may require a change from our typical action or a typical plan. I always say to people, and that's why I mentioned at the beginning, when it comes to strategy, when I'm dealing with clients, I take a backseat role, because you have to be accountable for it, and you have to find a way to create for the people who are involved in it that urgency for change. If there is no urgency, what makes you think people are going to be interested in actually following through with the plan that you have? So it's always really important, the people involved in it, they need to know, what is this strategy all about? What are we trying to get out of it? So that urgency goes, it is a key aspect of it. And also making sure they're accountable for it every step of the way. As a consultant, just simply looking and, you know, based on experience, saying areas that could, that they should pay attention to, is what I prefer doing. Of course, ideally, people want you to step in, get it done. I always hold back. Right at the back, you do it.
Wise.
It's more powerful. Yeah.
Wise. And then, you know, for me, I like your idea of being at the back seat and stuff like that, because I also think a part of strategy really demands people with that deep industry knowledge of that sector. Doesn't have to be industry for them, and a service sector, whatever it happens to be, but they have deep knowledge of that particular sector, right? Of what it means. So if you want to manufacture cars, part of the strategy formulation, there's got to be an engineer somewhere that really understands car manufacturing, right from the bottom up. Very clear understanding, because there are things there that in that deep knowledge that you cannot know without years of experience. No 1-2 year diploma universities in strategic management is going to give you that. You've got to have people who have that phenomenally deep industry knowledge. And it's and because they're the people that are going to tell you, help you understand how to drill that strategy down. So it can be all high level here, but when you get to the shop floor, what does that mean and how these values align? You know, how does that technician got to work? How are we going to make that machinery? You know, what's the ergonomics of what's going to happen down on the shop floor here? Because without that, yeah, I think you're, that's another reason I think
I agree 100%. 100%. And also having leaders who are comfortable getting feedback, because I've also had people say, oh, this is how I believe we should go based on my experience, based on my expertise. And you have those leaders who would not want to budge because their own idea of what should be overpowers the ability to gain other insight. So when you hire talented individuals, you should be ready to listen to their recommendation. And one that you don't agree with, very comfortably find a way to, you know, grapple on the idea, talk about it, you know, ask questions. Because a lot of people will be like, you know what, I don't like the idea. I'm not sure. I'm not comfortable with it. Or you don't like the idea because it's not your own idea. And the other way goes around as well. Some people may feel because they're an expert in an area means their idea is the only solution to it, which I call the IKEA effect. You know,
yes,
it's just my way. It's my own opinion that matters.
Right.
And you find a lot of those. So we need to check in, right? And that's the key. When we have a focus of what we're having this strategy for, we're all aware of it, and we all know what are some of those triggering events that could cause us to make a change, goes a long way to having a successful realized strategy. Until next time, this is Gifty Parker and John Ballen.
Remember, during your busy week ahead, stay good, stay true, and stay beautiful.
Bye-bye.